So Obadiah went to Ahab and told him where Elijah was. Then Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said...
One moment. Just do a quick rewind there. Remember, characters, do you show them to the church? Because they're very small. I'm low tech. There is no camera here. Okay? Right. So, Ahab and Jezebel, just so you get the idea, go. Walk them down. Some of them at the back. Dodgy eyes. They won't see unless you show them. Let them see how mean we're dealing with. Fantastic.
When he saw Elijah, he said, "When
Elijah." Yeah, go Lulu. Fantastic. Not quite as good looking as me, but you get the idea.
He said, is it?
No. Bella, your line.
He said,
"Is it you, the biggest troublemaker in Israel?"
Elijah answered,
"I have not caused trouble in Israel. You and your father's family have caused all this trouble. You have not obeyed the Lord's command. You have followed the Baals. Now tell all Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel." This is just a representative selection of the people of Israel. Also, bring the 450 prophets of Baal. And this is where we've really got, you know, what do they call it? Not deflation. What's that, when things get smaller? Sizeflation?
Shrinkflation.
Yeah, so we've just got representatives. The prophet of Baal, holding up there, and the prophet of Asherah. Yeah, a motley looking crew. Scale them up. 450 of the men in black. 400 of the guys with the spears. Dodgy. And bring them here. All those who eat at Jezebel's table.
So Ahab called all the Israelites and those prophets to Mount Carmel. Elijah stood before the people. He said,
"How long will you try to serve both Baal and the Lord? If the Lord is the true God, follow him. But if Baal is true God, follow him."
But the people said nothing. Elijah said,
"I am the only prophet of the Lord here. But there are 450, imagination please, 450 prophets of Baal. So bring two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one bull. Let them kill it and cut it to pieces. Then let them put the meat on the wood. But they are not to set fire to it." Wood, Felix. Good. Thanks, Bella. "Then I will do with the same as the other bull," but we'll wait on that one. "And I will put on the wood," and we're waiting on that, "but I will not set fire to it. You, the prophets of Baal, you pray to your God, and I will pray to the Lord, the God who answers the prayer, the God who answers the prayer. He will set fire to the wood. He is the true God."
All the people agreed that this was a good idea.
You can all go, yes, good idea.
Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal,
"There are so many of you, so you go first. Choose a bull and prepare it. Pray to your God, but don't start the fire."
So they took the bull that was given to them and prepared it. They prayed to Baal from morning until noon. They shouted,
"Answer us!"
But there was no sound. No one answered. They danced around the altar they had built. At noon, Elijah began to make fun of them. He said,
"Pray louder! If Baal really is God, maybe he's thinking. Or maybe he's busy traveling. Maybe he's sleeping. So you will have to wake him."
So the prophets prayed louder. They cut themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed. This was the way they worshipped. The afternoon passed and the prophets continued to act wildly. They continued until it was time for the evening sacrifice. But no voice was heard. Baal did not answer. No one paid attention.
Look, plum. Yeah.
Then Elijah said to all of the people,
"Now come to me."
So they gathered around him.
Elijah rebuilt the altar. Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord because it had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes. These 12 tribes were named for the sons of Jacob. Jacob was the man the Lord had called Israel. Elijah used these stones to rebuild the altar in honor of the Lord. Then he dug a small ditch. Hi-ho! He built a small ditch, dug a small ditch. You don't build, you dig, don't you? Dig ditches. He dug a small ditch around it, and it was big enough to hold 13 quarts of seed. Now, any with a mathematical background, how big's a quart? How many pints? Two. So about a litre? That's big enough. Right, okay, I think that's big enough. Big enough, deep enough, guys. Fantastic. And he put the wood on the altar. Right, so we better not burn Elijah. If we get him out of the way and put the wood in there, that's fantastic. Thank you. So he's putting the wood on the altar. He cut the bull into pieces and laid the bull on the altar. Then he said, "Fill four jars with water." Perhaps you can give one to Otterley. We were looking for a fourth cast member, and this is fantastic. Recruit on the job. So fill, yeah, so we've got four, and pour it on the altar. Wow! Then, you're mine.
Yeah. Then Elijah said,
"Do it again!"
And they did it again.
Whoa!
Then he said,
"Do it a third time!"
And they did it a third time. So the water ran off the altar and filled the ditch. It was time for the evening sacrifice. So the prophet Elijah went near the altar. He prayed.
Okay, guys, sit down. That's not what he prayed, but that's the... Yeah. "Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I ask you now to prove that you are the God of Israel and prove that I am your servant. Show these people that you commanded me to do all these things. Lord, answer my prayer. Show these people that you, Lord, are God. Then the people will know that you are bringing them back to you."
The fire from the Lord came down. It
burned. Sorry, stand clear. It may happen, but the risk assessment said we shouldn't really have fire. Plus, the new system is very sensitive. So that's okay.
It burned the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the ground around the altar. It also dried up the water in the ditch. When all the people saw this, they fell down to the ground. They cried,
"The Lord is God!
The Lord is God! Hurrah!" Thank you very much, young people. Please give them a round of applause.
There was bound to cut. And this is down to me. This is the bit I'm doing. It's gone crazy. There we go. Here we go. We're game on. Game on. In our reading from 1 Kings chapter 18, we've heard how we are called to stand up against wrong. The prophet Elijah believed in the one true God, and he confronted evil King Ahab and his false prophets. Through this contest, we learned three lessons. Three. In the army, there were always three lessons, 3 points. Beyond that, get confused. Three lessons, keep it simple. Verse one, don't be afraid of false gods. Now, all we need to know about King Ahab
is written in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 30 to 33. I'll recap for you. You might be slow on turning the pages. I find the pages very thin. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Ahab also made the Asherah a false goddess and did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've heard how sometimes the people of Israel are in relationship with God and everything goes well. And they maybe get a bit complacent, they get led astray, they follow other gods, and it goes wrong. Yeah, not good. And Ahab is the worst of this lot for leading people astray. So, not good. Of all the other kings who had ruled, Ahab was the worst. And his wife, Jezebel, she was just as bad. They practiced a false form of religion. They worshipped false gods called Baals and Asherah. Friends, the God of the Bible is the one true God. He's not a byproduct of human imagination. Popular opinion, no matter how popular, cannot change God's nature or his laws. Did you notice how Ahab referred to Elijah in verse 17? As a troublemaker. But Elijah wasn't a troublemaker, he was a troubleshooter. He had been called by God to call out the real troublemaker, Ahab. As Elijah answered him in verse 18, I've not troubled Israel, but you have, you and your father's house, because you've forgotten the commandments of the Lord and you've followed the Baals. Elijah was saying very clearly that the problem was Ahab and the people who were following him and following Baal and following Asherah. They had forsaken God, the one true God. So as we've read and acted out, God issued this challenge, didn't he, to Ahab? Now then, send out and gather all the people of Israel to Mount Carmel. You can come and have a look afterwards if you can't see it properly from the Mac. And come to Mount Carmel, all the people with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, all those who eat at Jezebel's table. Ever thought what size of table that must have been? That must have been huge. Or maybe they did it in shifts. But anyway, a lot of them. Ahab sent the message. And it brought the prophets of Baal and Asherah together at Carmel. And Elijah came near to the people and said, how long will you hesitate? How long will you dilly-dally between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Until this point, the people have been trying to pick and mix their religion. Oh, how I miss Woolworths. But now God, through Elijah, was calling them to decide who to serve. He let them know the same thing that we're called to share, that nobody can serve two gods. He challenged them with, pick one. Pick one. Who are you going to serve? If you tell anyone today that they must choose which God they're going to serve and that there is only one right choice, you might be heading into some deep water. However, if you don't stand by the one true God against false gods, you may well find yourself in even deeper trouble. And isn't it interesting how the people responded to Elijah? But the people said nothing. It's almost like being in church in all age where you ask people a question of the congregation. Doesn't want me, does he? Doesn't want, no, surely someone else will answer. The people said nothing. They were speechless. They had become so used to worshipping false gods and listening to false prophets that they no longer recognized either the true God or his true prophet. When talking to others about God, we do not need to be unkind. That's not Jesus' way, is it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. calls on Christians, all of us, to speak the truth in love. Gently, kindly, but firmly. It is the truth. If we're going to stand for the one true God, we have no choice but to speak the truth of God's word. And the very fact that you are here today is a witness to Jesus Christ, that he alone is the way to salvation. By being here, by listening, by learning, by praying, you are standing against the false gods and wrong teaching. Point two. Don't be ashamed of the one true God. Elijah challenged the people, didn't he? I am the only prophet of the Lord here, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring the two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it up, place it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will deal with the other. Then they can call to their God, and I'll call to the one true God, and whoever answers with fire, he is God. The people responded this time, yeah, that's a good idea. Good. Elijah was willing to step out in faith to show he really believed. I'm convinced that if more people would believe, I'm convinced that more people would believe in Jesus if we actually lived like we believed it. Not just on a Sunday, but every day. Get out there doing the stuff that God wants us to do. That's why coming to church is so important. That's why studying the Bible is so important. That's why quietly praying before any matter, and particularly before or during a crisis, that's really important. That is why sharing the difference that Jesus has made in your life and let others know what a difference it's made, praying for them in hard times, that's why it's all important. When you do these types of things, you're letting people know what you really believe, what you truly believe. And that makes a difference. It makes a difference to you, but it makes a difference to others as well. The contest is set up between Elijah in the blue corner and the prophets of Baal and Asherah in the red corner. You go first, Elijah says. You pray to your God, and I'll pray to my God, and the God who answers with fire, he is God. Notice, Elijah is totally unafraid of the prayers to their gods. One of the arguments that people use against having the Lord's Prayer in schools today is if you're going to have Christian prayer, well, you're going to have to let everyone else pray. You'd have to let the Buddhists pray. You'd have to let the Muslims pray. You'd have to let the Hindus pray. You'd have to let the secular humanists do whatever they do. They won't call it prayer, but that's what it is. How should we reply to that? How should we respond to that? I believe, let them pray, and then we'll pray. We have nothing to be afraid of false gods and false prayers. We serve the one true God who answers in power. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself and prepare it, and then you go first. So they took the bull that was given to them, they prepared it, they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. They danced about, they cut themselves, they screamed and shouted, they did whatever they did, made a lot of noise. Oh, Baal, answer us. But not surprisingly, there was no voice and no one answered, and they did it all the harder. Elijah was slightly naughty here. He mocks them, didn't he? He called out, oh, maybe he's awake. Maybe he's gone to the loo. Maybe he's on holiday. Shout louder. So they cried louder and they did more and they cut themselves and no one answered. After that, Elijah stepped up. My turn now. So he said to the people, come near me. Rebuilt the altar. It was in bits. Stones together. Built it up. What did he then do? Dug this trench around it. Trench, maybe a bit ditch. Trench, a bit military, isn't it? Ditch, go for a ditch. And then he invited, fill it with water. And the wood, and the bull. He Yeah, that's only damp. Do it again. Now, don't go home and do this because we're getting close to drought conditions. But he's showing the exuberance here. You know, water. Let's make it really, really... Third time. Oh, yeah. It's totally dripping now. And then... he called on God. But first, let's understand what this was about. Elijah was showing this wasn't about him. This was about God. He didn't pour oil on the water and the bull. He didn't pour oil to make it easier. He poured water to make it harder. The others, they've had their go all morning and evening and it's all very boring and nothing's happened. He makes it harder. Try to remember this. When you step out in faith, God steps up with you. Remember Jeremy 2 weeks ago talking about Deborah. Rachel last week talking about Samuel. When God calls, he then equips. What was the lesson? He doesn't equip first and then call. He calls. He looks for a faithful response. Then he responds. Point 3. Be in step with the only true God. The false prophets had worked all day for hours and hours trying to get their gods to answer. And they were exhausted. The prayer that Elijah prayed took, by my calculations, about 20, 25 seconds. Felix, if you've got a watch or maybe count quietly, let's see how we do. 25 seconds. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, I ask you now to prove that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are bringing them back to you. How did I do? 20? Time spent in rehearsal is seldom wasted. Yeah. 20, 25 seconds. Elijah was praying that as God was glorified, the people would come to know him and surrender their hearts to him. And that's exactly what God did. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water was in the trench. And what happened? When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Understand what happened. When the people saw the true God go into action, they did what they should have been doing all along. They fell down and worshipped him. So in conclusion, what can we learn about from this Old Testament hero, Elijah? We need to read and understand our Bibles. It's God's word. We need to know it. We must pray often. It's God's gift to us and how we stay in relationship with him. And when God calls us to action, we need to step up in faith and do what he calls us to do. He'll equip us. There is nothing that will draw non-Christians into worshipping God and surrendering lives to him than seeing God's power demonstrated by his spirit working through Christians in the way we live, the way we love, and the way we obey Christ. So let's make like Elijah and Samuel and Deborah and all those we heard in the last song, the heavyweight heroes of the Old Testament. Follow God, follow his word, be his servants, be his children, love him, be his hands and feet, and show the people how it's done. Praise the Lord. Shall we join and sing again? Yeah, why not? I'm not going to let you answer that. You might duck out. Right.